acting up, minor acting up. And I think I know why, but I'm not going to tell you. Richard did not get to pick this up. Third quarter business meeting next Sunday night. Man, those are loud. Youth night, October 24th. We're going to start a every other week, Friday night, youth night for students in my Sunday school class and Hillary's Sunday school class. We're going to start on what's called a gospel journey. We're going to start, it's a series that I've not gone all the way through it yet, but the students will thoroughly enjoy it. They will grow in their walk, in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Workday, Harvest Festival, Roundup, Thanksgiving dinner with a special speaker. Whew. Hillary, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do that. Let me open this door. Going to have to get some WD-40 on that bearing up there. Do you realize that if I forget, somebody remind me before I close in prayer to tell you about this, because it ties right into this morning's message. Satan does not like for you to know the truth from God's Word. Satan will do everything that he can to keep us from focusing on what we're here to do today, and that's to study God's Word. The computer, of course, you know me, I don't like computers anyway, except they're really much easier than whiteout to do notes for messages. We didn't do music this morning. And you know, were we still able to sing praises to God? Yep. We were even still able to sing praises to God with two notes out of the piano. Because somewhere over here, unless they're working now, it doesn't work. Every time we have a big temperature change, a big temperature shift, and I forget to put a heater under the piano, it doesn't work. Susan is sick this morning. I got to tell you, I think it's because what was going to be a simple message is probably going to be a 2 or 3 weeker. See, Don? This was 2 pages 2 days ago. And I've only just begun. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you'll just bind Satan from this place this morning. Father, cause each person here to be able to focus on your word, the words that you would have spoken here this morning. And Father, I pray that you will just put a blanket over me, that they see your word, your truth, and not what the pastor says, but what your word says. And Lord, we just pray that you'll just bless our time in these things we pray in your name. Amen. I want to preface my opening statement by telling you that I am proud to be an American. I am proud of the flag that's right there, even though somebody's got it messed up this morning. And I know what they do, but that's okay. Every time we have a children's program here or we have a vacation Bible school, we start every session with a pledge to the American flag, a pledge to the Christian flag, and a pledge to the Bible. Most people don't even know that there is a pledge to the Christian flag or that there is a Christian flag. That's what that is over there, if you didn't know. And there's a pledge to the Bible. One of the things I want you to understand, no matter how great, how powerful, and how wonderful it is to be an American, and I've traveled, 9 or 10 countries, some of them we spent a lot of time in, some we've passed through. But even passing through a country, you can tell a lot by it. I got to tell you, this great nation is a pagan nation. Everybody, a lot of the older heads are going like this. Do you realize that for 150 years, plus or minus a little bit, from the time this country was founded on biblical principles, how far we have gotten away from that? Moral values are going down the drain. Did you see the news this week? The great state of Connecticut, even so little as it is. Did you see what they did this week? It's sad. You know what? Most people, if you ask them on the streets in America today, will tell you they're Christian. You know that if you open up the South Bay phone book and you turn to churches, there are over 10 pages of churches listed in the phone book in my office. So obviously we're a religious nation. Correct? We're religious. Good. Dan got it. We consider ourselves a very religious people. But where is our relationship? It's not about being religious. It's about a relationship. We're seeing things happen in our nation that should make us sick to our stomachs. When we see what's going on, the moral values, you see what the judges are allowing. You see what our congressmen, our senators, you know what? I pray for our president. I pray for the members of the legislature. I pray for a revival in this country. And I think that it will happen. I think that it will happen if we are faithful to what God wants us to do. Take your Bible. We're going to look at a lot of different passages this morning, but Titus chapter 3. Actually, the end of chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Remind them," I'm reminding you, "to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work." And you're saying, "But Pastor, I don't like what they're doing. I don't like what our religious leaders or our political leaders are doing in this country." Do you remember what Christ said? Matthew, you're going to have to keep your finger in two places. Matthew chapter 22. You know, the youth event we're going to do, one of the statements in the opening part of the video is a youth pastor is talking to a young man, and the young man wanted to know if he was one of those religious guys. And he said, "No, I hate religious people." And he went on a little bit, and this kid's agreeing with him. He says, "Jesus hated religious people." Matthew chapter 22, verse 15, "The Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk." The religious leaders wanted to trick Jesus. They wanted to see what he would say to a question. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" How many of you love getting your tax statement? We own this little chunk of desert. I mean, it's a little chunk of desert out in
Palmdale? Is it?
I'm not sure. It's just a piece of flat desert out there. I got the tax bill on that thing this week. Somebody's crazy. But you know what? Just as Christ said here, Sharon's going to write a check. I don't pay the bill. She does. She's going to write a check and send it off, as much as I think as it's ridiculous to pay that kind of money for this piece of dirt. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar." So whose face was on their money? An idol-worshipping, bad leader in the country. They had Caesar's face on it. Was Caesar a Christian? No. Was he an evil pagan ruler? Yes. But what did Christ say? He said, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Should we pay our taxes? Do we cry before we pay them? Oh yeah. But do we pay our taxes? Yes. Why? God's Word tells us if it doesn't violate God's law, then we need to do it. Even if we don't agree with it, we have to do it. When you go to the gas station, you pump gas, you're paying $3.50 or whatever it is now, and you look at all the taxes on that. You know what? You want to drive here to church? You've got to pay that tax. Is it wrong for them to charge it? Well, yeah. But when we look at this passage here, Christ was saying, pay the tax. It doesn't violate Scripture. Even if you don't agree with it, you got to pay it. Do what's right. Go over to Romans chapter 1. I don't know if we're going to get much for. I don't even know if we're going to get through this part this morning. This might be a three-weeker. But I feel very strongly that we have to cover this based on the fact that we have 23 days. 23 days till our next national election. Please don't ask me who I'm going to vote for. Because I will not tell you. I will tell you, you need to be educated about who to vote for. And not just the president, but all the way through. Educate yourself on who God is going to put. Because you realize, we vote. But who allowed George Bush in office? God did. The governor, whether you like him or not, who let the governor be in office? God did. We don't always understand his ways, but God allowed this. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Everyone is in subjection to the good or bad things the government is doing. There are, in the next few verses, 7 reasons we are to be subject to those in authority. 7 of them. Let every soul be subject. That's every single person be subject to the governing authority. The first reason, for there is no authority except from God. Bush is in the president's seat because God allows him there. Governor Schwarzenegger is there because God allowed it. I don't care who it is in political office, they're there because God allowed them to be there. Should we be in politics? Yeah. You know what? There's a college, and we've been on their campus in, I think it's in the state of Maryland. You know what the whole intent of, it's a Christian college, and they're training young men and women for political office. That's biblical. Train them up. There's a pastor in our fellowship out in the desert out here who was in the, it was a pastor, got into politics, now he's back in the pastorate. Did God allow that? Yeah. There's no authority except from God. No matter what you think of it, right or wrong, God is in control. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Not elected by you and me, but appointed by God. Do we badmouth the president? Absolutely not. Do we pray for him? Yes. On a regular basis, you need to be praying for our government. Number two, there it says in verse 2, it says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God. You resist the authorities that God has placed over us, you're resisting God. The third reason is in verse 2, and it says, those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Resistors will be punished by God. God designed government, and those who resist it will be punished for that. Four, in verse 3 of chapter 13, it says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Government is designed to restrain evil. How many of you like a good John Wayne Western movie? What was it like during those days? Everybody carried a gun. Lawlessness was rampant. But let's go back even farther than that. I heard a statistic, and I'm going to do some more research on this, that there was a period of our history way back when Jews were being crucified by the thousands. We know that Christ died on the cross, but there were political leaders way back who had rows and rows of crosses. Were they good rulers? Oh, wait a minute. A little more modern time for us? I'll back up. A little more modern time for us? How about Hitler? Was Hitler a good ruler? No. But God allowed that to happen. Do I understand totally why that happened? No. Will I ever understand here? No. When I get to heaven, will it be important? No. Because I'm going to be in the presence of God. God's design for government was not for terror, but for good works. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. That's why we need to be praying for our president, that he will see the need to follow Christ. And I don't know where the current president is. I don't know where the ones that are, whoever's going to be next is. But we need to pray for them that they will see the truth from Scripture and help point this country towards Christ. Do you want to be unafraid? Do you want to be unafraid of the authorities? How come every time when a police officer gets right behind you, when you're driving down the road and he comes right up on your bumper and you go, what did I do? You know, and you're like, what did I do? How fast am I going to the... We don't have to be afraid of the authority. We do not have to be afraid of them. It says, do what is good and you will have praise from the same. Do what's right and you'll get that praise. From students that go to school, do what your teachers tell you. You won't get sent to the principal's office. Drive the speed limit, you won't get a ticket. I got my share. Some of the students are laughing. I got my share of tickets when I was your age. Trust me, I know. Why? Because I wasn't obedient to what the authority said. Nobody told me that. The fifth reason that we need to be in subjection to authorities over us is in verse 4. It says, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. Promote good. What are we supposed to be doing here in church? Teaching how to be subjective under God's authority, knowing what's in here. For he does not bear, for he does not bear the sword in vain. You know where capital punishment's authorized? Right here. Bear the sword. The authorities have the right to do that. It's in God's Word. It says that they have that authority. For he is God's minister. The sixth thing, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Execute wrath on him who practices evil. It says, therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. We must be subject to those in authority of us, over us. For because of this, in chapter 13, verse 6, for because of this you also, this is a summary of those, these seven points. Because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Who are we supposed to give honor to? When those of us that spent time in the military, we swore our allegiance to the commander-in-chief. Did we always like the decisions that he made? Most of the guys that were in the service, they know. But, were we under his authority? Absolutely. Did we do what we were told to do? Absolutely. You better. It's not our job to worry about what the president is doing or what bills they're working on. We need to be praying for them. As Christians, our job is to evangelize an unsaved world, to tell people about Jesus Christ and their need to know Him as their Lord and Savior. Do we sometimes get too caught up in the political arena today? Absolutely. Let me ask you something. Is it worse for a police officer or the drunk driver that just killed 10 people and died himself? Which is worse, to go to hell? They're both the same. The worst criminal that's ever been on this earth should know who Jesus Christ is, the same as our president should. God's not a respecter of persons. No matter how good you are or how bad you are, you need to know Christ. And we have a job and a duty as Christians to tell others about who Jesus Christ is and what He did on the cross. Go over to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into this marvelous light." Did you catch that? We're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. We are His own special people. He called us out of the darkness to live in the marvelous light. Verse 10 says, "Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles." What does an unsaved world need to see? They need to see Christ through us. When we go shopping, when we go down the freeway, have you ever... I'm one of these crazy people that sees stuff. And one... have you ever noticed the guy with all the religious bumper stickers, the fish, all that? And when they do something wrong, you're going, "He's a Christian." You ever done that? You ever done that? You know what? The only difference between him and me is he's got the bumper stickers and I don't. Because I'm a sinner saved by grace just like him. But what does it say to the unsaved world if you've got bumper stickers all over your car and you act like the world? You drive down the freeway honking your horn and waving at people and yelling at them. And my wife will tell you that they can't hear me when I'm telling them to get out of my way. We have to have our conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, your good works are being observed, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are set by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. We must be in authority, submissive to the authority that God has placed over us, as long as it doesn't violate God's law. I'm going to challenge you, and I'm sorry I didn't get these in earlier. These are on the back table. I've got 24 of them. If you'd like to take one home, please take one home for family. Fill this card out, and I'm going to put a board up on the back wall that you're making a commitment, and we're going to, because we only have 23 days left, you're going to have to double up 7 days. But this is Prayer Map of America. And it's 30 days, and we can do this even after the election, but I think it's so critical today for us to start today. And this is a map of the United States, and on it are 30 days marked out where you will pray for states. I can't read it upside down. Day one says, pray for a great outpouring of God's Spirit on America, one. Pray for the president and vice president that their hearts would be guided by God, that their decisions would be wise, and that their leadership would be principled. Day two is pray for the leaders, the churches and Christians in Alabama and Alaska. Pray that Christian leaders across America would seek God's heart for vision, wisdom, and direction. And then there's a verse. And there's 30 days of prayer. We got 23 days to pray through it. They're on the table. The cards are back there. If you'll commit to do this, we need to see lives changed. It's our job. It's our responsibility to be Christ-like. And what did Christ do? He died on the cross to pay for the penalty of your sins and mine. When Richard had a stand to sing Holy Ground today, I almost kicked my shoes off. Because you know what? When Moses came to the burning bush and God called to him and Moses says, here I am, what did God say? Remove your sandals for you're standing on holy ground. If we call ourselves Christians, then we need to be praying for America. We need to pray for revival. We need to share Christ with a lost and dying world. Because I believe that if Christians do not pray and do not get out and vote in 23 days, then we need to pray. We need to pray for this great nation. We need to pray for a lost and dying people that we come in contact with. We need to pray for souls to be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. That, Father, through his shed blood and through the grace and the mercy that you have for us, that, Father, we can be saved. We can be called your children, a special people, your chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We just thank you that you consider us worthy of being called your children. Father, I pray for each person that's in this room today that, Father, they will have a desire to grow in their walk and their relationship with you. Father, I pray for our nation as we see things in the near future that we don't all agree with, that, Father, we don't know where we're going after this next election as far as our leaders. Father, I pray that for whoever you choose to be in that office, that, Father, that we will be supportive. That, Father, we can be an example to those around us. Father, that we can truly be light in the darkness that's around us. And we just pray now for the remainder of this day that everything that we say and do will be honoring and pleasing to you. And we pray this in your most precious and holy name. Amen.